Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, three dots where we're able. We'll routine to call a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
But if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds,
are getting so much resistance from behind. And time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. Is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Shotgun. We say grace, we say man.
California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello everybody, it's Old King Shaziz the Terrible. Got my honorable knight cultist right here, right beside me in the same place. We got Diadon on here, and probably have some more drop in here before too long. And so with that said, sorry about the crash earlier. You know, it's the forces of darkness. They're out to get us and that kind of stuff. Hopefully we don't have another crash. But anyway, back in the old days, my grandfather used to tell me, you know, if you want something done, you got to do it yourself, because ain't nobody else going to get up and do it, you know. And that was pretty self-evident, because every time he'd ask one of my uncles to do something, he would get around to it when he got around to it, if he got around to it, and then my grandpa would finally get ticked off, and he'd go do it himself. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you ain't done that, yep.
You guys ever had any episodes like that?
Almost all the time.
Yep. And, you know, that's pretty much where we stand out here as far as what we got going on with all our networks and the internet and stuff like that, and which will bring us into our next subject as well. But, you know, we're talking about, right now is about the time. I've been saying this for probably like at least the last year and a half, at the very least, that before anything ever does crash, if it does crash, because, you know, the doomsdayers are out in full force, they're still out talking about all kinds of things going to go down, but you never know.
Big friends with them, by the way. Big friends with them.
Yeah. Well, what you need to do, though, is while you have access to internet and power and all that kind of stuff, learn as much as you can about alternative energy and alternative resources of every type, medicine, you know, you name it. You know, the more knowledge you can put in your head now will make you that much more prepared. Like right now, if the apocalypse was to occur, me and Cultus is in the same neighborhood. We got it made.
We're done, mate. We're surviving. You all better head this way.
Yeah, y'all come over here.
We got the food. We got the tech. We got the brains. We need a few more brains, but
rub it in.
Yeah,
rub it in.
Y'all come over here to Shaziz's house. It'll be the one with the lights on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a city in the distance. That's Shaziz's house.
If you see one light in the whole planet, that's at our house. Just follow the light.
Follow the beacon in the north.
Yeah. Anyway, that's just because we know a little bit about electricity, you know. Actually, I've been told I didn't know nothing about electricity. Did a couple videos on it. But what do you think of my lab so far, man?
I am in awe. Shock and awe. And that's how I would describe that.
Yeah, we had a bit of
what's
fun.
What's this switch do?
Oh, don't turn that. Are you crazy? Here, hold these wires.
That's what it goes. Bastard.
Yeah, Diadon, you need to come over here sometime, man. You need to be in
nice,
the neighborhood.
It's a long drive, and I got to make money for the family. And
yeah, no, bring the family with you. Pack it all up and just roll on in our neighborhood.
Yeah, it's kid friendly, you know. You put your hand on a
coil or one the
on the sodium bulb and show everyone how to do you know,
wireless energy,
and then touch someone on the ear when they're not expecting it.
Yeah.
Hey, well, every time I go to the park with my kids and they go down those big slides, they have all their clothes on and build up that static electricity.
Oh.
The finger shock.
Grab your kid before he gets down and you touch him on the nose. Pow!
Yeah, exactly. Before he touched the ground.
Yeah. Poor Dame Shannon. We were out here and she didn't quite understand the order of, hold my hand first. Oh, sorry. Hold my hand first, then I'll touch the sodium bulb. I had my hand on the sodium bulb already and she went to grab my hand with a fluoro in her hand and... Yep. Let's just say she wasn't overly impressed with me.
Yeah, she wasn't too happy about that.
No. Still loving a bit, though.
Well, she said,
I don't think she loves me a bit, Samuel. All she wants to love me into bits.
She said what made it worse was there was a wire in a certain place. Not mentioned where the wire was, but...
Whoop. Yeah. Yeah.
Get a job at the...
Diggly Nibbles. Whoops. Where do women have wire on their clothing?
Yeah, dog? Don't say it, but we all know there's a certain wire spot.
Anyway. Yeah, yeah. So it went in one hand, straight across both of those, and right into the fluoro.
Well, all right.
Well, so now that everybody's got a bad visual in their head, okay, let's roll.
Hey, that's not a bad visual for anyone.
Well, no, not. Oh, yeah, right. I ain't even getting involved.
Yeah, go on, stick your foot in that one.
Hey, she might listen to the show, man.
She might.
Kick our butt.
She'd be like, Coldus,
what you talking really? About my wire for?
She'd be like, Coldus, really?
Really, seriously? While she's smacking us both in the back of the head. Anyway, yeah, she's sleeping in today.
Put your heads together, boys. Bang!
Everybody's got jet lag. You know, he came all the way from Australia, and then they came all the way from Indiana, and so we all got jet lag.
Yeah, I'm like back and forth through the time zone. It's like, doing the time warp.
He's a time traveler, man.
Yeah.
Really. Anyway, he came from a day in the future. You know, down in Australia, they're a day ahead of us. You know that.
I am from the future.
And actually, I think Ireland's like 6 hours ahead of us. So if you come from Ireland, you just went 6 hours into the past.
Well, according to the Gregorian system.
Yeah.
Is that too much? Was that too over the top?
No, that was good. That's good. I'll go with it.
The storybook of the Gregorians, huh?
Anyway, you know, we were talking about earlier about the doggone internet being transferred over, man. I don't think that's such a good idea. And, you know, not that I say that, Americans anything special, which, you know, everybody's supposed to love their own country. Of course, we do. We love our own country. We love everyone else's country, too. But
I love your country, too.
One of the things that I was talking about was the fact that here in the United States, we still got a constitution to some extent. You know what I'm saying? But we still got some laws, and so it is a little harder for them to do things to the internet now as opposed to how it would be whilst it's in the hands of who knows who on the other side in the UN or whatever, you know. You understand
what
I'm coming from?
What part is going to the UN?
They're turning the power over to them. Basically,
what though, like the domain names and all that kind of jazz?
Giving them the switch.
Just the actual, like what part? I mean, because there's obviously big corporate entities in America, like the.
Well, obviously they're not going to be able to give everybody the people's servers and stuff like that, but they're giving the main heart of the system away. Which is essentially the power system. You know, it used to be military is what actually it was started off in colleges and stuff like that. You know, they used to transmit information back and forth via the college and the military bases and stuff. But then it kind of grew off into the internet. And now here we are, you know, we're talking to each other on Skype and such, you know, and people's out there and they actually have to work to spy on us, you know. But when you put it off into a foreign entity's hand that aren't elected by any of us, then essentially now you got a group of people, if they don't like what you're saying, you know, they just shut your website off. To me,
well, that could be very possible.
Yeah, that's not a good idea as far as I'm concerned, you know.
What, they shut someone's website off?
Yeah.
You know. Well, is it a good idea?
No, I said it's not.
Not.
Yeah,
the not part.
All right. Definitely not.
Okay.
I
mean, I'm not saying anything, but I could shut a few websites down if I wanted to, if I want to go into the nasty bit.
There are a lot of people who can. I think there's going to be a problem with the internet if there's going to be some type of authoritarian figure. Like, I don't think it's going to happen. It's not going to fly. There's too many people who know how to manipulate the system. It's like a two-way radio. Like, you're just not going to be able to just shut it down.
Oh, well, they have their ways, you know? I mean, at the end of the day, All you need to do is pull a domain name. Bang. There's no DNS redirect to send, you know, well, you to Shaziz Radio anymore, and all of a sudden,
But in like any leader or any thought, another thought comes and replaces it. So another domain name will come and replace it.
It does, but in what time frame?
Yeah.
How many weeks do we miss out on doing our show? How many weeks does the Truth Seeker Network get their stuff out, and so on? You know, it goes down the line where we're all gonna have to face, abrupt changes and have to adapt. That's, that's what we're all about. We do that anyway, but it's annoying.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Well,
it is annoying. That's...
We won't give up. Like, come on. This is us we're talking about. We're the most stubbornest bastards on the planet.
I'm old.
They're getting rid of us.
I'm old enough that I remember the real hacker wars from way back. And there was, like, a real serious hacker war going on back in the day. It was just, you know, brand against brand. There's guys over in Europe that spend their entire... life just studying everything there is to know about computers, and there's some really good Australians too, and some Canadian guys.
There's a few overwrought Australians.
Yeah, well, I've met a few dudes that could really...
It doesn't matter where you're from. Dedicated into something, like, you'll learn the systems and ins and outs.
I'm talking about from way back. I know some guys from all different countries that could punch a keyboard, man, and they knew some tricks, back in the day before the processors got to be as good as they are today. It was easy to shut somebody's computer down.
Overflow.
Yeah, you could just stack them up and drop them down, denial of service attacks and all that kind of...
Well, the funniest, I think, what I find kind of intriguing is the people who are heavily, like, rooted in those type of things, they also kind of play both sides. They understand it enough to, for example, the people who create viruses are also the same people that create the
antivirus. I mean,
that's how they...
Well, see, here's the thing. Viruses aren't profitable anymore, and they realize that. What's profitable now is like malware and spyware. That's what they're working on now.
Get the ads on your computer.
Yeah, they don't want to destroy your stuff now. They just want to you know spy on you and jack with you and that kind of stuff. Like you'll get certain little things like the red X with the white X with a red square around it on your deal down there that says you got a virus, and then when you click on that thing, it'll take you to a website that'll sell you the cure. It's not really a virus. It's just
the adware.
Yeah. Here, have cancer. Now, let me sell you some radiation to cure it.
I don't even want to get it. Oh, man.
Just saying.
Well, that's kind of the deep-seated problem with our society is the idea of ownership and those types of things. It's hard for us to deal with, but honestly, that is underlying issue, right? I mean, wouldn't you agree?
On the same sense, you got to keep your eyeballs open and your ears open because somebody's always trying to pull the sly on you, like that virus I was talking about. That's not even virus.
I guess what I'm saying though is like if our social structure was developed differently, where it was like more of it wasn't based upon monetary gain or things like that, like where giving to people was actually more rewarded than taking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
But people don't understand that it is rewarding in itself.
Absolutely.
Give what you can give and feel how that feels. That's your reward. There's no monetary gain in giving things. It's a self, an internal reward where you feel good about having helped somebody,
Going down the path of enlightenment.
Exactly.
Look in yourself. That's something that everybody has to learn individually. But those things need to be taught in school, Those are,
We all know that in the government indoctrination centers that they call schools, well, they're actually like freaking prisons is what they are, but... They're
ran by the same people.
They don't want to teach people how to be individuals. They don't want to teach people, how to love and all that kind of stuff. They want to teach people how to conform.
Yeah.
No.
I can guarantee you, and I can get a copy of a school of a teacher's manual, right? Where Catherine was and still is doing her getting her diploma of primary education. And in one of her books there, it explained that the the purpose of teaching is to create workers. And more so on that, that the people who had the most input into what was taught was major corporations.
Yep.
Not you as a parent.
Special interest group.
Anyone else.
Yeah.
The people who run the big companies, they're the ones who decide what is going to be taught in schools.
Right, but it's easy to recognize those problems. It's coming up with the solutions that is difficult, you know. So what are the solutions?
I know the solution.
Really. Home educate.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't be a teacher at school yourself and say, screw this. But the problem is you're going to get arrested and you're going to get thrown out of the school.
Or you're not going to be a teacher. But the thing is everybody is a teacher and a student. Everybody.
Exactly. Yep.
Right. So.
Well, yeah. See, here's a good plan. You do double duty. You send the kid to school, and you say, okay, now you go to learn as much propaganda as you can at school, and then I'll come home and I'll show you some of these old school books, and we'll compare what you were taught to what was taught back whenever.
Almost.
And then let you make your own decision.
What I'm thinking is, we're kind of screwed into the fact that we have to send our kids to school. If we don't, we're doing the wrong thing by our kids, and we get arrested and our kids get taken off us. So what we can do, though,
have a good amount of money or a good situation where you can actually homeschool your kids.
Well, no, we can do one better. Or not one better, but we can do something to avert the situation. And what we can do is teach our kids to be critical thinkers and send them off to school, letting them know that, hey, the teacher's only human, they can be wrong. That the school book is written by a human, it can be wrong. That not everything that is written in that textbook is fact. And teach them that word theory.
Yeah.
Right.
And what theory really means.
Right, and trying to explore their own...
Teach them to open their eyes and go out and work it out for themselves. Yep.
Right.
You're only going there to learn what somebody else thinks. It doesn't make it fact, sunshine. Go and just pick up the bits you think are right and go into the world and see what you find.
Yeah, that's about the best go there, man.
That makes it... Sometimes it's difficult. So, I mean, when you got parents who are, you know, working, both parents are working, and they're trying to make a living, you know, so to speak.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, the whole homeschool thing isn't going to be for everyone, and it's not going to be for most people. But everyone can teach their kids to be critical thinkers.
Well,
we're always teaching and learning from each other.
Yeah.
And ironically enough, this whole switch over from the doggone internet being changing hands like that, you know, it has another implication that I don't know if you guys have even contemplated on, is that yesterday you was telling me that your kid was, they don't use books in school anymore. They use an iPad.
Yeah, young Xander there, man. He's got an iPad.
Who controls the curriculum whenever you're tapping into the network in order to get your education? You see
exactly what
I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what happens when the iPads fail? Like EMP blasts happen. I mean, there's always these what ifs and stuff.
Yep.
But
yeah. Where's the textbooks going to be?
Yeah. Right.
Backups.
And how easily manipulatable is digital data?
The textbooks and the learning is always, you know, outside or through exploration of energetic means, like we call it matter, but you know, it's the same. And then there was silence.
No, he's over here floating an air biscuit.
Oh, I am not. It's you, you dirty old mug.
Anyway, you know what I'm supposed to do.
I'm just saying, like, our solution, we have the power. We, as in the people, like you always say, right?
Just, yeah. Well, once again, it falls down to, if you want it done, you got to do it yourself, man.
Yep.
That's the solution. That's the solution to everything, you know?
Yep.
If you want to do alternative energy, then you need to study it up. You need to do that.
You know what I find kind of frustrating, though, for just a pretty big example in the mainstream of science is the physicists in like the cosmological sciences. They don't focus on electricity at all. I mean, now on the quantum physics side of things, they do quite a bit, but then they don't for the mainstream, the big heads of science, they don't really focus on the electric principles of the universe. And I find that kind of frustrating because we have theories like the Big Bang and stuff like that that have many flaws to them, according to the electric principle, and you know the idea of dipole or the idea of magnetism, a positive and negative, and all that kind of stuff. And it's not being taught, it's not being explored, and they say, oh, just ignore that. You know, gravity is the way it is because Einstein said this. But even Einstein didn't say that to a full extent. You know, he said, hey, this is still flawed. There's still problems. This is just one little perspective of a much larger picture. You know,
yeah, and I've actually had people tell me that there was no physics in what I was doing, and I was just, like, playing around. If you take plasma, there's a lot of physics going on in plasma. What creates plasma? When those electrons are sitting there bashing around inside there, there's a lot of energy release going on. That's why the thing glows, you know?
Yeah.
Heat is light and light is heat, vice versa.
Well, it's trying to
friction
find
of electrons.
It's trying to find its balance, and in doing so, it
creates friction.
It transmutes into another energetic plane of existence, or, you know, it's like and this is out there deep dive and stuff, but consciousness expressing itself into form. Consciousness would be like the electricity. Form would be like every energetic type of particulate, you know, matter, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Is the form. So, you know, it just depends on how you bring it into existence.
Well, these,
what you do with it.
These,
so it's heat or light or magnetism or gravitational forces, which is basically magnetism in my personal opinion. But, you know, it's,
well, I agree with that.
It has to go somewhere.
I agree with that. These doggone scientists, though, the ones you're talking about, these college-educated geeks, you know, they get on my nerves, man. Because,
well, it's like this, though. It's like this. I mean, they have a certain status quo they have to go by because they don't get any funding if they don't go that route.
Well, I'm even talking about the ones that don't even get funding. I'm just talking about the flybys that just come out of college and they studied physics or whatever, and then they get out there on YouTube, talk to some of these different researchers, and they start telling them they don't know what they're talking about. It's against the laws of physics. You can't do this. You can't do that. I'm tired of being told what I can and can't do. We go back all the way back to the theory, and the theory, when they formulated that theory, one time out of that 10, there may have been an anomaly, but they just overlooked that, and the other 9 times is the final conclusion, see?
Right.
So,
you have to investigate that anomaly before you get a full, complete understanding.
Yeah.
That's the scientific method. Right.
So until they can tell me 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's a 10%, 10 out of 10 times we got the same exact result, then don't tell me your theory's fact and that I'm stupid.
Yep, that's kind of the mind talking, you know?
Yeah.
That's the ego. You know, people.
It is. It's the fact that they don't want to have to admit it and then rewrite their 30 years of thesis that they wrote.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's, you know, guess what? Tough. You know,
that's what science is all about. There's, dude, I've spent months working on something, and then I was like, oh crap,
I'm wrong. Whoops.
Yeah.
That sucks, but you know what? I learned something. Time to move on.
Hey, I spent like a couple of $1,000 doing HHO research.
But see, here's
that was sad.
Yeah, that's the tough one, man.
Here's the bad portion. Is they're teaching the same stuff in school, and they're not giving them no leeway
but
to
they
be
teach
critical
them,
thinkers.
They teach theory and call it fact.
Yeah.
Or they don't call it fact, let's be honest. They allude to the fact that theory is fact, and it's not.
We can't just generalize on all teachers. But
no, that's very true.
Group of them, I'm not gonna.
Well,
no,
look,
see, I think
I ain't even cracking on the teachers because here's the thing: the teachers are only reading what they were taught.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's what I was gonna say. As you all know, Catherine was and is studying to be a teacher, and she's still back in Roxby Downs there doing her own thing, but she is going to be one of these teachers who tries her best to subtly encourage the kids.
To critical think,
exactly.
Yeah.
But you know, she'll find a lot of brick walls. You know, she's going to be that is going to be her life challenge is to try and wake these kids up quietly so she doesn't get in trouble on the way through.
Anytime you buck the system,
you better believe it, baby.
You better be ready because that's exactly what they're going to do. Like on this whole deal teaching evolution and creation, I think they should teach both. I think it should be mandatory.
Why not? Exactly. Why not? Because as Shaziz and I have agreed on 100 times over, And same goes with free energy research. The same goes with anything. Until you hold it in your hand, you can't prove your argument.
Yep.
So don't have an argument. Simple.
There's always somebody out there who's experimented and gone further down the road than you have, and all the roads lead to the same place, which is the exploration of life and understanding its principles. You
exactly.
know?
But isn't that the thing you want? Your whole reason for going to school is a quest for knowledge, and in order to get as much knowledge as possible, you need to hear both sides of the story. You need to see both sides of the fence.
But see, here's the quagmire, right? The dogma, however you want to look at it, the idea that there is two sides is kind of ludicrous. Like, the idea that creationists and evolutionists, right, are different in any way. In fact, they're almost identical. The only difference is just purely in belief in certain aspects.
Yeah, but what we're talking about is appeasing the politically correct is what we're talking about, because both sides can agree that everything came from some single point somewhere in time and space, and then that's where we all started off, and that's where we'll all end up together. All right.
So both sides are wrong.
Well, maybe they are.
Both sides are right.
Maybe they are. But see, as long as you've got that knowledge to compare with on the other end of the scale there, then you got something to work with. See, if you get both sides of the story and then something new comes up, then you can compare and you can make a critical decision after everything that you've learned. But
come to your own conclusion.
Yeah.
That's a proper way to educate. It's like the old saying, you can teach a man how to fish, or you can catch a fish for him, right? That's backwards, but you know.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Without that information, though, you're still on the world is flat.
Yeah.
Because you can't make no advancements if you don't ask the questions, the tough questions. What the heck was that anomaly? Why did it do that one particular time? It hasn't done it since, but it did do that one particular time. Why? What part of the equation was going on? You know,
well, in theoretical physics, I mean, I think I talked about this yesterday, like the whole idea of the redshift, which is basically the measurement of the expansion of the universe, and it helps to solidify the Big Bang theory.
Well, here's a question I got for you in that instance, all right? Everyone knows when things explode, they go outward, right? And when they implode, they go inward. And so, with that said, when the universe is expanding, why are we getting pelted with rocks? They should be going the other direction. They should be heading outward instead of inward.
There's all types of material physics, you know, like actual physics that will counteract that things move in different directions. All that's the bigger questions are like quasars. Okay, a quasar star. All right, is a star, or even a pulsar. Both of those are great examples. They're stars that, for example, the quasar is a star that emits incredibly high redshifting, but yet it's been placed in parallel with other galaxies that are not redshifting, and they're at the same place, the same space, right?
Yeah.
So the time of the redshift is inaccurate. And so there is no. It looks like they're going away from us, but they're not. They're still staying in the same place as this other galaxy. So then it brings up an anomaly. And there's tons of examples like that. Another example is the pulsar, which is this supposedly what the physicists say that it's a huge gravitational pull, and that neutrons, right, are it's a neutron star, and the neutrons are holding it together, but. Then you start talking about the electric universe, and that principle falls apart because neutrons, you know, is the convergence between the electron and the proton, you know, the in between, right? That space that we're kind of still trying to figure out, and neutrons inherently can't hold themselves together. There needs to be an electron and a proton to hold the energy together. So these pulsars are pulsating at incredible speeds, like we're talking about nanoseconds and less than nanoseconds of massive amounts of energy. They would just fall apart according to the standard laws of physics that we see it today, you know, as far as Einstein's theories and a lot of those theories. They would just fall apart and turn into big energetic masses, you know, of gases or whatever matter they want to say exists there. But it's more than just matter. There's more going on there, and they don't talk about the electric principles of it. They just talk about gravity and matter and energy and the frequency of those. But yet the frequency is, they call it time, space, gravity. Those are the principles they look at, but they don't look at the electric side. And it's really unfortunate, you know?
Well, yeah, that's what I say. It should be a case of you're looking at all different possibilities, all different, anything that's been observed in the past, you know?
Right.
And say, you know, these scientists have observed this, you know, not these scientists theorized and then suddenly theory becomes fact kind of deal.
Right.
Because we still don't know much. I mean, for Pete's sake, when they shine the telescopes up to the sky outside of the Hubble, you're still only seeing lights far, far away, you know. And they use light spectrum analysis to try to figure out what materials are on certain planets and such, right? So, you know, a billion light years away, there's just this planet supposedly moving around a star. We can tell that by the way that the star wobbles or the star blinks, the light blinks out on it, and then...
planets are around it, right, with Kepler and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and then somehow or another, we're able to capture enough light off of that planet as it comes around to do a light spectrum and tell you whether there's, you know, water or gas or whatever on the doggone thing. So, you know, I'm like this. Until we actually get out there, you know, until we can actually get right up next to it and get a really good high-definition picture, you know, don't tell me it's fat.
Well, truthfully, my personal and humblest opinion is that I think that somewhere on our planet there is a means to do so, but it's hidden under a veil of privilege,
yeah,
of ego, you know, and that's unfortunate. And I honestly do believe that, and people may think that that's quackery or...
Hey, I don't think it's quackery. Number one...
So, you don't have any proof of that. Well, okay, that's fine. But if you look at it this way, our governments, you look at two main factors. One is that science and technology increase exponentially at a rate, you know, two times at least every 6 months. Two times, right? Two times the technological advancements happen, and that's just what we're aware of. And then you look at the other fact that most. Most organizations like governments and stuff or people who have enough money that they don't, money doesn't exist for them, it's just a matter of resources and collecting resources, right? They have the means to do whatever the heck they want with those resources, right? And they are at least 40 years ahead of us. I mean,
oh, I'm sure of that.
Stealth bombers is an excellent example. I mean, you know,
I mean, come on, man.
77, it didn't come out until the 90s, and
NASA can't even
wow with that.
NASA can't even take a good picture, man. Seriously? We're able to land a planet, land on another planet. Supposedly, it takes 6 months to get there. We're able to land on this planet, and the only thing they can get us is crappy photos? All right? Okay, why ain't we been back to the moon with some really good HD cameras, you know? Supposedly, the Chinese are up there right now.
Because of money and the idea that there has to be some kind of gain, you know?
Yeah, but see, if you're gonna send something up there, heck, just send a robotic camera. You don't got to go all high tech.
You do to Mars.
Yeah, but why we always keep getting crappy pictures?
But if you look at the Mars rover, I mean, it's still up there taking pictures of stuff.
But they're crappy pictures.
My cell phone can take better pictures than the Mars rover.
Well, dude, you don't understand. The radiation that hits Mars is far different from the radiation.
Oh, my bad. My bad. Sorry.
All right.
Gee, whiz. Really? Like, they didn't, like, put that into forethought before they sent the thing out there?
Yeah, well, there's all kinds of, you know, speculation we can make, but the truth of the matter
it's
is
makes
that...
I'm not speculating.
I'm saying they're crappy pictures.
I'm observating.
Yeah.
I'm observating. They are really crappy pictures. You know? I mean, come on. If NASA has the crew and funding that they got, surely they can afford a photographer to say, look, you know, hey, change that. I'm echoing.
Some of those pictures from Hubble are beautiful, though, man. I mean, those are beautiful pictures that they've
yeah, but Hubble
put
is
together,
it
overlaid multiple.
I was about to say, they just look like CGI to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's because they are, basically.
Like, yeah, man. Hey, let's play around with Photoshop this week, NASA boys. Yeah,
like the whole. I'm echoing through your deal there, man. Like the whole jelly donut debacle, man. Really?
Jelly donut debacle.
You didn't hear that one? Go Google jelly donut.
Yeah, jelly donuts.
Yeah. Okay. They found a rock, and they said it looked like a jelly donut.
It looked nothing like a freaking jelly donut. It looked like a freaking rock, man.
Well, they have to have some type of, you know, what's funny is...
At least find a rock that looks like a jelly donut.
Earlier, I was talking about collegiate stuff, and she got a little offended. You know, she's going to school and stuff like that, and she got a little offended, but she's like, who's they? You know, why do you say they? And I'm, and then you have to specify.
On the cast, will you?
Who's they? NASA?
All right, well, I'm going to be more specific. NASA has crappy photographers. I said it. They're probably going to send the men in black to kick my door in and rough me up.
They don't have the funding anymore.
Huh? They don't have the funding? Well, yeah, BO did cut some money out of their pocket, I guess.
Yeah, now everything's privatized. If you want to go into space, you have to have a corporation behind it.
Well,
you have to have a corporation behind anything.
Look, I tell you what. We could build our own rocket. We could send it to the freaking moon with a good HD camera. And we could get better photos than these jive turkeys. I'm telling you, we could do it. We could build it out of an old hot water heater, man.
I got the engine full right here.
I believe you're correct. We could find people who could easily help us, and we could do it ourselves and stuff like that. But my personal perspective of it is using an explosive type of fuel to try to get into space and stuff like that is kind of, I don't know if, I would
Stone Age?
I can make HHO.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what they do, basically, except they turn it into, they cryogenically freeze it and turn it into, like, a liquid mass type.
Well, we can do
something like that.
We can just get some CO2 fire extinguishers, freeze our hydrogen.
Just find a way to change, the magnetic field of a certain environment.
This is what we were talking about yesterday, isn't it?
Yep, exactly right. What we were talking about yesterday.
I mean, seriously, like, it would be less abrasive on the environment. Why not look at it holistically on a scientific principle? Don't just look at it from, we're rocket science, or we're,
That's where rocket science ends and real science begins, eh?
All right, well, okay, I'm going to say it. Screw it. You know what? Look, hey, I look up in the sky every once in a while, and I see these strange objects that just kind of sit there. And then whenever they feel like it, they move. All right? They just kind of sit there. And then I see these planes flying by, and I see all the different things that move around in the sky. Somebody out there got some technology.
Yeah. I agree, because I've seen the same thing. Mm-hmm. On multiple occasions, I've seen something that's like, I'm like, well, that's not a plane, and that's not an asteroid or a comet.
When you stand there and you look at...
When you're standing out in the middle of the desert in South Australia, not too far away from Woomera Air Force Base, ex-USA Air Force Base, and you see things come down towards the star, curve around the star, then shoot off behind the star, or come from the horizon, fly straight up over the top, it looks like a star, but these stars don't move like that.
Oh,
yeah,
that
90 degrees, right?
See,
I saw it curve around a star, dude. Like, it came down, curved around the star, and then shot off to, like, the behind direction of the star.
Those are anomalies that have happened since mythology.
Yeah, but see, I'm shocked at you guys, man, because don't you know those are weather balloons?
Oh, my bad. Sorry. It was gas I saw
swamp
in the middle
gas,
of the desert.
That's what it was.
It was swamp gas in the middle of Roxby Downs, yeah.
I've seen debris fall from space, and I've seen all that kind of stuff, and then I've seen some things that I can't explain, and that's as simple as that. I can't explain it. All I know is that whatever they are, they move very...
Look, the curvature around the star...
natural objects would move that are falling.
The curvature around the star can be explained off by gravity, okay? I can live with that one. The one I can't live with is the one that came from the horizon... shot, like, and I'm talking incredible speed, like within like a second, 2 seconds, it went from the edge of the horizon directly above me and just sat there.
Yeah.
For the rest of the night. Like a star in the sky.
Yeah.
But it came from nowhere.
That was swamp gas. That was some, that was
that one was a weather balloon, Shaziz.
Yeah, that was some Cowboy Billy baked bean gas.
Yeah. Yeehaw.
Well, there's a lot of governments around the world that have disclosed a lot of information, and it's just a matter of you going and researching it. And seriously, government files that have been disclosed, like military jet fighter pilots and all kinds of different things. And even if you go on the internet, it's very easy to spot like a fake to a real. Like a fake will look like too brilliantly beautiful, like too. You're like, oh my goodness, that's so amazing. You know, it looks like a Hollywood movie. That would be a fake, right? But the ones that are real are like the ones that you're like, they're, you know, a mucky kind of photo. There's some dude just, or some lady or some guy just walking around, and they all of a sudden they catch something, and they're like, here, there's a, you know, I have my camera or whatever it is, and you know, although some are still fake on that field too, but for the most part, like a lot of those are really, like I've seen quite a few videos that I'm like, wow, those, I don't see how somebody would be able to fake that. That's,
yeah.
It's too authentic. Like there's too much authenticity behind it. So.
Yeah, and you know what? Look, we're just nutcases, man. We all got tinfoil.
Speak for yourself. I'm insane.
Yeah, okay. He's insane. I'm a nutcase, and you're a whack job. But see here, you know, when the colonist tinfoil hat wearing nutcases, whack job, freaking insane guys,
conspiracy theorists,
at least they could get the doggone metals right. You know, it's aluminum foil for Pete's sake.
Yeah, tin's too expensive.
No, it's tin foil. It's tin.
Tin is too expensive.
Tin is. That's why you wear the tin foil, because it's more expensive. It's like a prestige thing. It's like a golden crown.
Yeah, but we're poor, so you know we're authentic when we're wearing aluminum foil hats.
Yeah, I just want to make me a galvanized sheet metal hat, like a bucket or something.
Yeah, because then.
I'll let it go for the ratings.
All right. Well, anyway, you know, here's the thing. You know, they want to make you sound like you're stupid. You see something with your own two eyes, and then they come out and they say, "Well, you didn't see what you saw. Don't pay no attention to the man behind the curtain," kind of thing. All right. Now, every one of us got one really, really cool ass cell phone in our hands. All right. We got some really major technology in our hands. We got more processing power than the supposed lander had whenever it went to the moon the first go. Alright? That's a lot of amazing power. Not only can they track us with it and profile us with it, probably even spy on us with it, you know, video camera wise, but you have a calculator in there. You have all kinds of different apps in there.
It's a multifunctional Star Trek tool. It's like a tricorder. It's like Star Trek and then some. Like Star Trek didn't even think of how cool that would, you know.
Now imagine if this was back during the vacuum tube day, how big your cell phone would be.
Yeah. Well, but vacuum tubes have become obsolete.
No, they still use them in military planes because they can stand up to an EMP.
No, they're obsolete. Digital age now.
Oh, yeah. Throw your vacuum tubes away. Break them. Put them at the dump. You don't need them anymore.
Yeah, they don't do
anything. Buy a microchip. We can root them.
Here's what red flags me. Whenever you got a phone in your hand, and then you got these companies coming online that say, hey, we will buy your phone. We'll give you as much as $100 for that phone.
Just to get it out of your hands and destroy it.
What's in that phone that they want, man? Gold, silver, platinum?
It's not the gold for $100, I guarantee you.
Maybe it's the secret file that holds your information with all your data. Who knows?
For the gold and silver and all that stuff.
Yeah, we could start another conspiracy out of that whole deal.
Yeah, for the $5 worth of gold that's in your mobile phone, I'm sure they want to pay $100 for
it. Yeah.
Oh, man. What's the saddest part is a lot of people, you know, neglect the fact of where they all come from. You know, like they come from African kids slaving away
in
a mine, and Chinese kids slaving away on a production line from importing the... the resources from the African kids, and it's like, oh man.
And they don't even give them.
Just thinking about it.
They don't even give them real materials to work with, man. Like, I bought some boots from the made in China, and boy, by the time I got through walking around about a couple of months in those things, the soles were flopping off on them.
Did you go to Walmart?
Yeah.
Oh man, there's your problem right there. Stay away from that place.
You know, dang Walmart. You know that little steel toe thing in the top of your boot?
What, you mean the steel plastic cap piece?
Yeah, the metal piece that's supposedly for the steel toe to keep you from smashing your toes. That's in the edge of in the end of your boot.
Safety cap. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, whenever I was walking across one day, that thing, my boot puked a piece of metal out. It went bleh.
As he does the hand movement for his boot opening up and throwing up the boot cap.
I like, my boot just puked.
Then you grabbed the duct tape, right?
Yeah, I did too.
You know he did. You know he did. He used WD-40 to get it back in there and duct taped it shut.
Super glue and duct tape.
But,
you know, there was a guy from the Chinese manufacturer, and he was all ticked off. He says, you know, we're sick and tired of this because these companies come to us and they say they want us to make them down at these standards right here. We could make these things last for a long time, but yet they want us to pay. They want them built this way, so this is the way we build them. But then they turn around and say how bad our work is. The Chinese do good work, you know. They just use
shoddy material. They pride themselves on good work, in fact.
Yeah.
There's lots of instances like that. It's basically, it comes down to
planned obsolescence,
you know, and making more money.
That's the one.
Pretty simple.
Yeah, well, that
business model.
That whole scenario, man. You know, back in the old days, they used to make a car out of real metal. Now it's made out of plastic, aluminum, and whatever you can get your hands on. So anyway, you know, the whole thing is, look, if you want something done, you got to do it yourself. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Ain't nobody else going to do it for you. If you want some knowledge in your head, the only one that can put it there is you, you know?
Yep.
Am I wrong?
If there's anything ever you want or need, you need to go out and you need to do it yourself, because at the end of the day, you know, as much as people would like you to be able to rely on them, the general fact is that most people are unreliable. So, you know, if you want things done, as we say, you got to do them yourself. And this all comes down to the same fact as, you know, and I've said it time and time again, is don't wait for your brother next to you to stand up so you can follow him. Be the one to stand up and let him follow you if necessary.
Yeah, if we're going to fix this world, it's going to be up to each and every one of us to do it, because it's obvious that by the track record of the so-called elite representatives, or the they crowd.
Yeah.
Who is they?
See, this is the thing, right?
I don't think they really want to be known as, you know, as they or anything. You know, like,
we know who they are.
Well, but here's the sad thing, man.
Right, we don't really. Sad,
if we really want to evolve or progress as a species, you know, to point our fingers and blame
we must become ignorant of them.
Not get us anywhere.
We must become ignorant of them.
Well, yeah, but before we
don't buy into them.
Exactly. Just ignore them. They're not even there. Let's just get on with it and get it done.
Exactly.
Before we turn over a new leaf and don't blame people for the mainstream scientists, the mainstream media, and all the people that sit around and sponsor them are just, in my view, holding us back as a society, because we should be so much further advanced than what we are right now. We should be light years ahead of what we're doing right now.
The thing is,
but the idea of ownership. Listen, if we came to America and listened to the Native Americans, we would be. You know what I mean? We wouldn't release scientific, ingenuitive creations without looking at holistically and being like, okay, how is this going to affect the environment? How is this going to affect this? How is this going to affect that? And with a multitude of people saying, hey, this is my field. This is what I kind of see. What do you think? And, you know, but instead we have this idea like, no, this is. I'm going to do this. This is exactly how I'm going to do it because it's going to make me some money.
Can you add Stalker to the call?
Please?
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, well, like I said, you know, it's all back down to Grandpa's wise words. Hey, if you want it done, you got to do it yourself. If we're going to get some decent pictures of Mars, we can't rely on NASA to do it because obviously they got a crooked eye or a smudge on their bottle top glasses or something.
Yeah, you'd be better off with a bottle rocket and an iPhone.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Something, you know. Heck, send me to Mars. I'll get some good photos.
You know they're going to leave you there, right?
I don't care. I'll pop my flag up. If I ain't got a flag, I'll just use my boxer shorts.
Jesus was here. Oh, don't do that.
I can see it now. They spend millions of dollars and send me to Mars, and when I get there...
I can see you now doing a booty pop on Mars.
Yeah, like, I put my own flag up and say, I rule. This is my planet.
And when something they, I could have done without being treated to at 6 o'clock this morning. She's this booty pop.
Yeah, it was funny.
There will be video footage on YouTube of that, by the way. Just for anyone who wants a stained mind.
Hey, early in the morning, ain't nobody got no brains.
Ain't no one got time for that.
Yeah, ain't got no time for that.
Oh, you're a bad influence.
All right, we're going to take a quick music break and try to get our brains together. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right, peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned. You're listening to the craziest folks on the planet.
Whee!
ladies and gentlemen of the class of 99, wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you'll look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine. Don't worry about the future, or worry, but know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubble gum. The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindsides you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. Do one thing every day that scares you. Sing. Don't be reckless with other people's hearts. Don't put up with people who are reckless with yours. Floss. Don't waste your time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead. Sometimes you're behind. The race is long. And in the end, it's only with yourself. Remember compliments you receive. Forget the insults. If you succeed in doing this, tell me how. Keep your old love letters. Throw away your old bank statements. Stretch. Don't feel guilty if you don't know what you want to do with your life. The most interesting people I know didn't know at 22 what they wanted to do with their lives. Some of the most interesting 40-year-olds I know still don't. Get plenty of calcium. Be kind to your knees. You'll miss them when they're gone. Maybe you'll marry. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have children. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll divorce at 40. Maybe you'll dance the funky chicken on your 75th wedding anniversary. Whatever you do, don't congratulate yourself too much, or berate yourself either. Your choices are half chance. So are everybody else's. Enjoy your body. Use it every way you can. Don't be afraid of it or what other people think of it. It's the greatest instrument you'll ever own. Dance. Even if you have nowhere to do it but in your own living room. Read the directions, even if you don't follow them. Do not read beauty magazines. They will only make you feel ugly.
Brother and sister, together we'll make it true. Someday our spirit will take you and guide you there. I know you've been hurting, but I've been waiting to be there for you. And I'll be there just helping you out whenever.
To know your parents. You never know when they'll be gone for good. Be nice to your siblings. They're your best link to your past and the people most likely to stick with you in the future. Understand that friends come and go, but with a precious few, you should hold on. Work hard to bridge the gaps in geography and lifestyle, because the older you get, the more you need the people you knew when you were young. Live in New York City once, but leave before it makes you hard. Live in Northern California once, but leave before it makes you soft. Travel. Accept certain inalienable truths. Prices will rise. Politicians will philander. You too will get old. And when you do, you'll fantasize that when you were young, prices were reasonable, politicians were noble, and children respected their elders. Respect your elders. Don't expect anyone else to support you. Maybe you have a trust fund. Maybe you'll have a wealthy spouse. But you never know when either one might run out. Don't mess too much with your hair, or by the time you're 40, it will look 85. Be careful whose advice you buy, but be patient with those who supply it. Advice is a form of nostalgia. Dispensing it is a way of fishing the past from the disposal, wiping it off, painting over the ugly parts, and recycling it for more than it's worth. But trust me, I'm the sunscreen.
Brother and sister, together we'll make it through. Oh, yeah. Someday a spirit will take you and guide you there.
And we're back!
Woohoo!
Whee! So, what were we talking about? We had a couple join us here in there, didn't we? We got Dieden in here, we got Cultus, we got Dublin, and we got Mitko. How you guys doing?
And it's just Dieden.
Well, did they bail on you?
Oh, I saw it.
Great stuff here.
Yeah, there we go. How you doing there, brother? How's life in Spain?
Hot.
The home of Rambo.
Yeah. Well, we've had a drought all winter, so it'll be even hotter again when the summer arrives. You know, when you don't get rain, everything goes kind of burnt up. But that's fine. South Spain. You get some years no rain in winter, and other years it rains cats and dogs.
Well, you know what I find crazy about that? Is the earth is... The earth is like three quarters covered in water, man. Run some pipes over there. Doggone it.
Yeah, we need it. Apparently, there's in Libya, there's something like the equivalent of the Mediterranean of water underneath Libya alone.
Yeah.
You know, and water there is worth more than oil, you know.
Yeah, well,
that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Like they drive into the garage and they pay like 30 cents a liter.
Nothing in this world.
Gasoline.
Nothing in this world surprises
me. They pay more for the bloody water.
you can literally sell dirt, man. Okay, you know they talk about selling dirt to a farmer. I mean, you could do it.
If you know what you're doing.
Showing snow to an Eskimo.
Right.
In my younger years, I was quite an evil young man. I tried to sell some people. We own 20 acres of land, and the mineral rights in Australia is no matter what the mineral right claim on your property, you own a meter deep. So I told them that they could buy my land off me for $20 an acre, but they had to take it somewhere else. It couldn't stay where it was.
Pack it up, put it in your wallet, and get out.
Yeah. I would have sold it if I had, you know, been a little bit more dishonest than I was. I had to come clean. I felt bad.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we got bridges to sell.
We got bridges?
Yeah.
Want to sell a bridge?
Yeah. The
Bridges to Nowhere.
What's that one bridge?
Bridge over troubled water, I'll sell you that for $50.
What's that one bridge that everybody keeps trying to... Golden Gate.
The Golden Gate Bridge?
It's clad in gold, and we'll sell it to you cheap. $19.95 plus tax. That's $50 for those of you who can't count. Anyway, so we were talking about NASA having really crappy photos. We were talking about if you want something done, you got to do it yourself. We were talking about knowledge-based stuff of all sorts, you know, and solutions. That's the whole deal, solutions. And the solutions are there. But, you know, until you want to get up off the couch and do something, you can't enact a solution. Solutions aren't, like, automatic. They don't run by themselves.
What?
They don't.
Somebody lied to me.
Well, if you wind it up, like, you know, you do, like, the old wind-up toys.
He wants a perpetual motion solution.
Well, we can do that.
Right.
The perpetual motion solution for obesity is to sit around and eat and not do nothing.
The perpetual motion for obesity is not to get into a freaking gopher. Man, I got onto the aeroplane in Australia, okay? This is a true story. I am not making this up.
The big guy.
No, listen, right? Listen. In Australia, we don't care if you want to sue us. We'll just tell you to bugger off, okay? So, I'm at Sydney Airport, about to get onto my Delta flight to the US. Anyway, there's probably... two or three people that needed assistance. They had wheelchairs. Okay, totally understandable. One was an old Catholic nun, and like yeah, she would have been like mid 90s, right? And there was a couple of older people still, you know, and they all required wheelchairs. They got wheeled on first, and all the rest of it, you know. I get off at LAX. And there is a line of about 20 wheelchairs waiting for people to get off the plane.
Now, I don't know very much about math.
Wheelchairs, man, wheelchairs. Because they were getting pushed. No, there was a rascal behind the wheelchair. They were pushing, mate.
I don't know.
But what's the deal? What is the deal? Like I totally can understand that in Australia we didn't care. You know, you're fat, you're not disabled, okay? But as soon as they get to the US, everyone panics. It's like the fat dude will sue us. Quick, put him in a wheelchair.
What's your healthcare like in Australia?
Oh, dude, it's awesome.
Yeah,
everything's paid for.
There's your answer.
Well, really? I still don't understand. What if fat people need rascals? It's not a disability.
If you want to find a truck, if you want to find a truckload of utopians, look for the one with the fat kid in the back. That wasn't very nice. Doggone it!
That was me.
You said utopia. You did say utopians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we can't judge, man.
No judging. Didn't you?
That's anything? The whole thing, man. Look, the numbers didn't calculate up. I mean, if only three of them got on and they needed like 20 wheelchairs at the other end, that must be a rough flight. I don't want
to... Yeah, like, man, don't fly Delta, man. They put people in freaking wheelchairs on the flight. Well, like 17 people got you know, debilitated on the flight.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. See?
Is airplane food.
Man, oh, woo!
There's a conspiracy.
Don't eat that, I'm telling you. Do not eat that.
Those little package of nuts that they give you on the plane, do they still give those to you?
Yeah, little packets you have to like rip open with your teeth because a little tear here doesn't tear here. Alright? And they taste like they're at least 18 months old. Hey, get this one. Get this one. I was at Walmart the other day, okay? This one's for all the international listeners.
That's all you can say.
Wait for it. This has nothing to do with wheelchairs, alright? I'm at Walmart the other day, all right, with Dame Shannon, and we were buying things for her mum to make vegetable soup. Now, we came across where we're looking for potatoes in a can. What is the deal with new potatoes? Literally, that's what it read on the can. new whole potatoes.
Well, that's because the
If it doesn't say new, does that mean I've got like 4 year old potatoes in a can?
Yeah.
Well, these like packaged only 2 years ago instead of four.
It's preservatives, man.
New whole potatoes. What's the go?
Well, the old whole potatoes are out back. They're in the other can.
Ugh.
Yeah.
They're used?
Well,
so what you're saying?
They give those to the food banks and stuff like that.
They make potato beer out of it.
Potato beer?
Yeah.
Starch beer?
Potato beer?
Starch beer?
Yeah.
Now it's going into shine again.
Whee! Quick, pass me the worm!
No, do not ever give anybody the worm. Oh, God, that's terrible.
Well, in Missouri, don't you know what a worm is?
Look, I went to Chicago, Illinois. So I was on the 17th floor. No, it was actually, we was higher because the 17th floor is where the swimming pool was. But we were up on the way up in the on top of the Continental Hotel. I got this friend. He's full-blooded. He's not Cherokee. He's, doggone it.
He's a full-blooded Native American.
He's a full-blooded Native American. All right, well, we was drinking some tequila. Well, actually, it was mezcal that had the worm in it, right?
Ooh.
Anyway, everything was going just fine until he downed that bottle, and he had that worm, and he stuck that worm in his mouth. He started chewing it up, and he sticks his tongue out, and there's this worm on the end of his tongue, like that. And the next thing you know, he's hanging out the window hollering, "Oh, oh, I'm the only Indian in this room, you know, oh." And there's a crowd gathering at the floor down there, down on the ground level, looking up at him, thinking he's going to jump or whatever. Never, ever, ever eat the worm.
Swallow the worm, do not chew the worm. That's the rule.
I'm not native, and I'll do the same thing on tequila. Like, that's a no-no for me.
Yeah. Oh.
Tequila makes my clothes come off.
Oh!
Hey, quick, hide the tequila. Yeah, remember, hide it. Hide it.
When dieting,
when Gordon comes, we're hiding all the alcohol.
All the tequila.
All the alcohol. Period.
You see me though, you might actually want to see my clothes come off.
Let me let me think about this. Let me think about this. No.
I'm just trying to contemplate. I'm just trying to get a grip on reality. Did he just say that?
He just said, when you see him, Shaziz, you're going to want all his clothes to come off.
No. We can't go that route. We'll just throw a rug over him.
Throw a rug over him and burn the rug.
It's the complete opposite.
Oh, man. Hey, Dublin,
so what are you saying? Are you saying you have a nice feminine body? You just got a deep voice, right? You're a chick with a deep voice.
Yes.
See, there's a conspiracy theory right there, man. I'm telling you.
A new one has been formed. Yep. Is Dinan really a chick with an Adam's apple?
No.
And man boobs.
You can do the finger thing.
No.
You can do the finger thing. Your ring finger's longer than your index finger, and you're a man. If it's vice versa, then you're a woman.
Whoa, lucky! And I've got the world's biggest Adam's apple, so I'm pretty sweet.
Yeah, well, that's blatant.
Yeah, you can tell I have an Adam's apple, can't you?
And
yes.
The more that
Adam's, I always point out everywhere I go, I got the biggest one.
The more that Adam's apple sticks out, the deeper your voice is. Hey, we got
it's the beautiful Dame Shannon has arrived.
Hey, we got the squeal on Dinan. You would not believe what he just
said. Dinan's really a girl with a deep voice.
No, he ain't. No, he ain't. Not with a haircut like that. Anyway. Hey.
I'll tell you honestly.
You grow more facial hair than me, chick.
I actually worked at a gay bar.
Oh, no!
Yeah, there you go.
And is that why we might want to see your clothes come off? I ain't no poofter.
This conspiracy just went downhill.
Yeah.
Are we?
Hey, I'll be honest. I'm a
what?
I worked at a gay bar as a security guard or a bouncer and a bar back. And, you know...
Boys, I can't leave you for 1 second.
The only place you can take us, Dame Shannon, is back for a second time to apologize.
What on earth is going on in here?
Oh, Dinan just took us down the bad path.
Come have a seat, Dame Shannon. Join the night. Smack us all over the back of the head and teach us a lesson we so desperately deserve. Ow! Ow! She hit me!
Alright.
Glad I'm not there.
Bringing it all back together now.
Right. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was getting out of hand. Well, what we were originally talking about if you want something done, really? You got to do it yourself. And then we were also talking about how the whole handover of the internet to the UN was a stupid idea. And then we got to talking about some alien technology that doesn't exist, that, you know, you see these lights that just kind of set there, and then once in a while they just take off and all this kind of stuff. And then we went from one thing to another. The next thing you know, Dieden said something to the effect is that you might want to see me with my clothes off. And then it went downhill from there.
And then it just went, boom!
It was
and then you walked in the room and we all went, oh no.
Progression,
all right? You taking your clothes off is not a natural progression, Don. Yeah, just saying. No.
Just keep them on. No. Okay, now let's move on.
So let's discuss what the knights are really about.
Solution.
We need the time to keep this under control.
Did you guys hear about on the trip, on the way here, we saw a car that had Go Knights written on the back of the window. And here we are headed to Shaziz's house.
Yeah, that was cool.
It was awesome. It was like we were ready. We had to get there.
And we stopped at, what was it called? Kingdom City. And had food?
Yeah.
Yes.
So we are definitely on the path of something. And it's been awesome being here. And I've got to see a lot of things. And I've got to laugh a lot. Even though I've been sick.
Something she wanted to say, something she didn't.
Yes, yeah. Wow, yeah.
Well, where are we at now? Okay.
Now we're talking about the knights and what we're really about.
Yeah, it ain't about Shaziz dubstepping and booty.
No, Don taking off his freaking clothes, man.
Shaziz booty popped so much this morning that it spilt coffee all over my beautiful white pants. Now I'm going to have to use peroxide to get that
funny
out.
Thing is, I don't even have a booty. Can you pass me that down there, please? Thank you.
Shaziz.
I don't think you boys need any more of that.
Boom. I'm falling over.
I know. It's funny.
Look, you're killing
me. Chase it. You can get it.
Boys.
We got dead air. All right. We're back to it.
Okay, so.
Shaziz just wanted to use coffee, and I was trying to hold it further and further away from him.
Yeah.
These guys are rotten. Anyways, we're gonna
get us back in line, Dame Shannon.
I'm getting us back in line. So we're sitting in church yesterday.
You wouldn't believe it, but I was for the first time in what, 18 years?
Yes.
Sitting in church.
And it was awesome, and I just thought to myself, wow, the knights. You know, we're going to get it together.
We were in the right place.
We all are in the right place. We just have to show. You know, we just have to show and show people what this world can be like.
Is it getting hot in here?
No, you are not going to take off all your clothes in.
He's sitting on the heater.
What did I create? I'm sorry.
You know dang well what you did,
no
boy.
No more clothes off.
I apologize.
Look, no more clothes off. Everybody keep the clothes on. We're around the table.
We can video chat, too.
Oh, no, we can't.
Are we going to get another Shaziz dancing in the snow video?
How to properly panic. There was global warming again last night.
Oh,
snow fell.
It snowed.
Yeah, so you got to roll about the snow again,
maybe.
Can you not? I don't want to have. I don't want to have to wash my eyeballs out with soap.
Caustic soda is what you need.
No.
Then you make some HHO.
Yeah.
All right. No, seriously, guys.
Boys, bring it back together.
All right, seriously.
But that was scientific.
All right. You know the whole. The whole deal of the Knights of the Round Table finding solutions, what we talked about this morning was, you know, my grandpa, he said it, and I keep on repeating it, if you want something done, you got to do it yourself. We can't expect anybody from any kind of representation globally to do it for us, and we all know where the conspiracy road lies. It's a bad place because, you know, you either get called stupid or a tinfoil, then they can't even get the doggone metal right.
I know. It's
aluminum
and foil hat. But you just can't even get it right. That's right. It's aluminium foil hat.
Yeah. All right. Well, either way.
I'd like to add to that, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, you say your grandpa said that, right?
Yeah.
Everything that we have is built upon the thoughts of the people of the past. So people like Tesla and stuff like that. embrace those people. Look at what people have said in the past. There's some great experiences and explorations that people have done. All it takes is just you doing it yourself and looking into past histories and being involved in something or being excited about some certain aspect.
Well, there was a whole lot more to Tesla than a lot of people know. No, I'm good, thanks.
You want me to share also?
No, I'm good.
It's more than just Tesla. I mean, Tesla built his ideas upon other people's ideas. Tesla was not some... People say Tesla was like a god. He knows so much.
No, I didn't go that route. I didn't say he was a god, but here's a man with a vision.
No. I'm not saying you did. I'm just saying there's people who say that.
There's people who think of Tesla as a deity almost.
No, listen. Tesla had a vision, and he knew that if he could do a certain thing, such as giving people free energy, then there wouldn't be no reason to be fighting over oil. There wouldn't be no reason to be fighting over resources. And that was the whole thing. And that's the reason why I like Tesla so much, is because he's at the same heart as I am. You know, all these wars out here, regardless of how you want to say they got started, was all over resources, period.
Yeah, we were talking before about how far the human race would have progressed along have we gone the right route. Tesla tried to give us that right route, and the wrong people got involved and absolutely destroyed it.
Well, but we almost encourage it. You know, I mean, in a sense, like World War One, World War Two, and the American side, or I shouldn't say the American side, but the Western civilization type of the mentality. We encourage it in a way by supporting things like McDonald's or Coca-Cola, Pepsi, any big corporation. We support it. Anytime that we buy something from them, you know, we're technically supporting it. So, you know, I always say, like, you can't blame the sinner. You have to blame the sin, right? And we all contribute to the sin.
Well, yes and no, because at the end of the day, who feeds the monster that be?
Yeah, we're feeding the beast that's eating us alive.
We have to starve that monster, mate. And so the sinner does have to take responsibility and blame.
Here's the important thing to remember about all this right here. First off, you know, we always talk about walking away from the system, which is impossible because the system is so intertwined with all of us that we have to have it to survive at the moment. So what we need to do is individually start working towards a separate system that by the time it's all said and done, everything's in place. You know, you don't kill the system. You just start creating your own system on the side. You see what I'm saying? Kind of like the preppers do, you know.
But it wouldn't be individually; it would be collectively. We all need to do it together.
Well, that's what the ultimate goal is. But
it starts with an individual.
Yeah, exactly.
What I always say: don't wait for your brother beside you to stand up and start walking. You get up and give him someone to follow if that's what it takes.
Yeah, and stop calling the cops on your neighbor, you know. Go over and help your neighbor out.
Yeah, go knock on his door, find out if he's hurt or injured rather than, you know, ring the council and have them find him laying on the floor hurt and torn and twisted because you were worried about how long his lawn got.
Yeah, people sit around and they complain about how they're losing their rights. Well, they're giving them away. They're giving them away hand over fist. They're not standing up to fight for them. They're not using the power of the spoken word or the power of the pen, the power of their actions. You know, you can get over to your neighbor and you can talk to your neighbor respectfully. You don't have to tell your neighbor, look, hey, there's Illuminati's trying to attack us or anything, you know. You just flat out tell them, look, hey, this is what I see going on. What do you think about it, you know? You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah. Well, I also think that, you know, as far as the mainstream media goes, kind of propagates the idea of fear and, you know, there's so many crazies out there and blah, blah, blah. Well, there's a lot of crazies out there, yeah, sure, but for the most part, people's intentions and empathetically, people are connected and are good, so to speak.
We're all connected. You and I both agree on that. All of us are connected. The whole universe is connected. But the whole thing about it is, when it comes down to the mainstream media, the reason why they have ratings is to see how many people's watching, all right? Well, if you don't like what somebody say, you stop watching, you know, period. And
fear sells, because it's a deep conditioned, like the evolution of humanity is only going to come from when we start embracing fear and recognizing it as a tool, much like our minds. We say, hey, this is fear, you know, there's a lion, it might kill us, but we recognize the lion's there, I'll face the lion anyways and see what comes of it.
I want to tell you.
That's a very difficult thing to do.
I want to tell you why I watch the mainstream media. I'm sitting here telling everybody, if you don't like it, don't watch it. I'll tell you why I watch it. First off, is I know that the majority of what they're saying on there is propaganda and it's lies. But as you listen to two people, you can take any two people in this world and you can have them, both of them, tell you a bold-faced lie. And in order for their lie to sound remotely plausible, they have to put just an ounce of truth inside there. All right? Otherwise, the lie just sounds totally ludicrous. If they tell you an ounce of truth in that lie, it sounds believable. You could actually believe that one of them's telling the truth. You step back, you look at the big picture, weigh out all the evidence that just was presented before you, and you can pick out the truth for your own self with your own educated decision. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, and you still get a perspective.
Yeah.
Still get a perspective, yeah.
It's like what we were talking about earlier as far as the school, you know. If you're going to teach evolution, teach creation. Teach them both. Teach everything so that these kids can actually use some critical thinking, and then when they get out there in the actual job market, when they have a problem presented to them, they don't fall back to what they were told, I can't do this because physics says it's not possible. If physics says it's not possible, then, you know, we're all doomed. You see what I'm saying?
But in the job market, I mean, here's a perspective, right? We have people who stress about deadlines, people who stress about things that are almost uncontrollable, okay? And it's replaced the idea of fear from fight or flight from our way back, right? So, you know, you're coming across some predator every day you go into work, and people get stressed out, they break down, their bodies break down, they have poor nutrition, blah blah blah. The story goes on.
Well, here's a point to make out.
Oh,
you see in all the movies out there, there's one guy, one character in this entire crowd who is able to maintain it under the most extreme pressure and overcome adversities of all kinds of different episodes. The average Joe is also capable of that. But if you teach this average Joe that if you cross this certain line, there is no, you can't beat it. It's totally against the laws of physics. It's totally against the law, this and that, or whatever. When they get to that point, if that's the only thing that's trained in their head, that you can't exceed beyond this point, then they fail. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, they won't even try.
Yeah.
And that's what happens with the indoctrination, isn't it? Like, at the end of the day, you're told this is how it is, this is how it's written in the book, this is the only way it can be. 99.9% of people won't even try to find something different.
Yeah, it's that guy that's willing to buck the system. It's that guy that's willing to step outside the box that actually finds the answers that causes us to advance as humanity.
And the hardest part of all is it's the man who's willing to be ridiculed day in, day out for his thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, look, they told Einstein, they said that Einstein, they thought he was crazy. They thought Tesla was crazy. But these are...
they all were.
Yeah. Well, they were also extremely intelligent people who came up with things that the average Joe would never even conceive.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it didn't involve their intellect. It actually more involved their conscious perception of
reality.
Imagination
of reality. Universe. Because it's reality.
Well, Tesla...
Possibility. Yeah, that is the true reality.
Yep.
You know,
Tesla was
an infinite possibility, and all it takes is exploring those possibilities to find what are the natural patterns and to understand the natural patterns and to move with the natural.
Being
patterns,
able to warp your mind around how the universe really
according,
works.
According right. to today's diagnosis and standards, Tesla was a germ freak and a obsessive compulsive disorder.
He also had Asperger's.
Yeah, so...
but they don't have any hard evidence of any of that.
Just eyewitnesses, you know, that
exactly.
said that this guy
exactly
used to
right.
do this. He used
and
to
they
do
focus
that.
On those aspects of it. Regardless of the problems he have, we all have problems. He never married, all that kind of stuff. He fell in love with pigeons. I mean, there's all
it comes down to what is normal. And normal is you.
But then once again,
whoever you are.
Once again, you have to test history. Once again, you have to test history. Is this stuff that was said about him just propaganda to basically discredit him? Because we all know that Tesla could have, he literally could have finished that tower at Wardenclyffe and transmitted wireless energy across the entire globe. He could have done it. I mean, I do it on a small scale. So if I can do it on a micro scale, and he had the access to the equipment to do it on a major scale, he could have done it, literally. But
I have no doubts that he could have.
But the whole deal was, it wasn't going to put money in somebody's pocket, and so therefore it got cut. And
so then we have to look at the holistic problem of what we have going on in our society right now, and it has to do with the idea of ownership and the idea of money. Greed and selfishness, all that kind of stuff. Everything that every religious, you can say religious, or every spiritual, however you want to look at it, every text has ever said as far as self-awareness and understanding what is life, which is like a, which is consciousness recognizing itself.
Well, I'm agreeing.
You know, it's pretty.
I'm agreeing with Cultus, and I'm agreeing with you too. First off, you can't prove theory, you can't prove faith, you can't prove science, period, because what we know doesn't even scratch the surface of what's really going on. And so, you know, with that said, I know we're all connected. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's an electric universe. I mean, if you take the basic science, everything proves it's an electric universe. So why aren't we a hell of a lot farther along than what we are right now?
The realization.
The only possible
self-realization, realizing that these little that these little things that people proclaim to be coincidence is not necessarily a coincidence.
Yeah,
you know, like, was it a coincidence that I met Shaziz and now I'm here? Was that all coincidences all the way along?
Was it coincidence that him and I are on such a like mind? He's into the things that I'm into. We resonate with each other. We haven't been mad at each other since we met.
Ever. And ever. I've came from the walk of...
A lot of people feel like they're privileged. Those coincidences are privileged. There's no excuse. When everything falls into place.
I've come from the forethought in my life as having a completely different religious stance to Shaziz. You know, my theory before meeting Shaziz was that all these crazy religious people, all they do is that there's enough of them that they can consciously manipulate the universe and blah 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 blah.
Thoughts are powerful.
Exactly, but that's not the case. You know, and whatever everyone else's beliefs be, you know, that isn't the case for me anymore, you know. And Shaziz never once
spirituality, deep spirituality, and self understand, self understanding of like a whole of consciousness, you know, and being alive, being just being.
Shaziz never once
something that every
and I don't know if you noticed. Avatar, Shaziz has never once pushed religion on anyone.
Yeah,
right. He has a knack of letting you see how he lives his life and lets you know why things are the way they are in his life, but he doesn't push it.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm on the outside looking in, and I see him and Bev, you know, and honest, they're the cutest couple you ever seen. All right, he's ugly as hell, but yeah, you know, they are the
I'm
cutest couple.
Mad fans.
Right? But I've been from the outside looking in, and I think to myself, why, you know, and so I decided I'd try a different tact at trying to manipulate the universe. And instead of trying to manipulate the universe, one day I decided to ask God for help. First time in 20 years, nearly, you know. Because, you know, as an early teenager, I went through that stage of, you know, trying to find who I was and went to churches and things like that and never really got much out of it, you know. But now I look back and I understand that was a precursor to where I am now. You know, it gave me the openness to at least consider it. And now, you know, I thought to myself, well, you know, I'll give this a go. And all the times I tried to manipulate the universe with my mind and nothing happened, I just assumed I was doing it wrong. The thing was, is I was directing it in the wrong direction.
Well, see, here's the trick to the whole deal, you know. If you sit there, anybody comes up to you and they try everything under the sun to convince you, even as far as getting angry and trying to say, look, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, this is how it is, then they can't advance spiritually or mentally or physically, anything. You ain't going to find no true enlightenment as long as somebody's trying to ram something down your throat. If I just live my life the way that I feel is right, and if somebody from the outside looking in sees, and they like that, and they want to adapt that, so be it, you know. there must have been something.
That's a true teaching. That's a true awareness.
Yeah, there must have been something right in there because they.
Well, see, that's exactly right. And like I would radiate to the people around me in Roxby, you know, and Catherine and I discussed 1,000 times over how, you know, religious nuts, blah, 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 you know. So her and I are in the same mindset. She never once spoke to Shaziz. She very rarely caught any of our shows, but she could see what it was doing to me, and I started to talk about God, and she was like, wow, really, cultists?
Well, even in her,
it started to change.
Yeah,
it's you know, because she could see what it was doing for me, the skeptic, Cultus the bastard who never believes anything until he holds it in his hand. You know, here I am going, well, so even scientifically, I cannot deny it any longer because for all these years I've been directing my energy in this direction and trying to get things to change, and it hasn't. And now, the moment I turn it 100% in another direction... Sorry?
You let it be.
Yeah.
I let it happen. Yeah, exactly.
If you strip away all the labels, and you strip away everything that has to do with anything, of tagging this with that or whatever, and you just be who you are, you know, take away the science, take away the religion, take away all that kind of stuff, and just be human. The fact is, we are all in the same boat. When this boat sinks, we all sink together. It doesn't. It's not going to discriminate between atheist, Buddhist, Muslim, Christian, or any of that. We're all going to sink together. And so my version of what true enlightenment means is that we all start realizing that we need each other. You know, we're brothers and sisters from all over the globe. And what we've got going on here at Awake Radio, No Borders, and We Roar, and Cultists, you've seen the other networks.
I do.
You've seen the numbers.
I know.
What we've got going on is a once-in-a-lifetime chance.
Don't give me stage fright.
It is a once-in-a-lifetime chance. And we're not pushing anything on anybody. We are just doing what everybody else does when they get around their table, their kitchen, their round table. We're around the round table. We're respecting each other. We're talking about ideas. And when we agree to disagree, we do it respectfully.
Mm.
But the whole thing is, when it all comes down to it, taking away all that kind of stuff, you know in your heart what's right. You can feel it. All right? There's your mind will tell you something. Your heart will tell you something. Your body will tell you something. You're going to know the difference between right and wrong.
You just got to listen.
You
just have to listen. It's all there. The signs are there. And when we say signs, you know, there's not a billboard. There's a feeling, and that's a sign, you know?
We think.
You get told those little subconscious thoughts in your head that you think are just you sometimes, you know, telling yourself off. It's not. It's a collective in your mind saying...
Diadons?
Yeah,
it is.
If your side of the planet sinks, and Mitko, if your side of the planet sinks, guess what? Ours goes down too. Mm-hmm. We all go down. And so this is the reason why I say that if we don't get up off the couch and we don't start enacting these solutions that all these brilliant minds have come together from Ireland to Scotland to Russia to China to Canada, America, all over the world. We've got people that come to these networks from all over the globe, from Africa to you name it. All right? These guys have the same ideas we have. They have the same hearts. They have the same dreams, hopes, and aspirations. If we don't come together and do what it is that we're talking about doing, getting up and acting the solutions, I mean, actually putting it to it, I can feel, when Thomas is on here, I can feel his discouragement because he's like, you know, we can't just keep talking about it. We got to do something. And I agree with him. We do have to do something. But I can't do it by myself. Cultus can't do it by himself. You can't do it by yourself. And Mitko can't do it by himself. We need to get out there and use these social networks we got and tell people, hey, come to the Knights of the Round Table. Tell us what's going on. Let's work this thing out. You see what I'm saying? Because when your side of the planet goes down, ours goes with you. You see what I'm saying? There's our connection. The same connection you keep talking about, how we're an electrical universe, we're all connected, and whether you want to call it God, or whether you want to call it the universe, source, or whatever, the source, whatever.
Consciousness.
Yeah.
The names for
The fact is, we're all connected, and none of us, not on the atheist side, not on the religious side, none of us disagree that somehow or another, something magically happened in the past that either created a Big Bang or created the world, but the key word is, somehow or another, it was all created. You take a 500-piece puzzle and slam that sucker on the floor over and over and over and over again and see how long it takes for everything to fall into place for us to have this conversation right now.
It's the present moment, and there's no excuse when things fall into place.
That's right. You can't pass it off as coincidence that everything just magically happened. I mean, how can a bird fly? You know, how can we walk around and talk and have communications? How can we send our voices through a little piezoelectric speaker all the way clear across the globe and touch someone else's heart? How do we do that if we're not connected?
Yeah, you know, it always blows me away. There's been quite a few times where out of Dame Shannon and I, one of us will be standing there thinking about doing something, and the other one will pipe up and say, "We need to do it."
There you go.
Yeah, because we have a gift.
There is a connection. There is a physical, electrical connection going on between the two of us, and
I call it God.
It's proven in science too. I mean, it's proven in science even.
I call it God, okay? That's from my own personal spiritual beliefs. I call it God.
I don't know what to call it yet,
but
we'll go with that.
Whatever anybody else wants to call it is fine. But
it's just a name. That's all it is. It's not what it is.
Well, no. See, that's what I thought. I thought that it was just a name that linked everyone to thinking and asking a common entity for something.
No, I'm saying it's a label that you individually place upon it, but there's really it doesn't link you to that connection.
But even in the world,
try the theory.
It's indescribable.
Even in the world of New Age religion, where they talk about one conscious bringing us all up to one level, you know, there's still some sort of magic going on. There's still some sort of entity behind the whole deal, regardless of whether you're an atheist or not. You know, it's magic. What holds the electron, the proton, and the neutron together? It's magic. We don't know. We can't prove theory. We can't prove faith. We can't prove nothing. But what we can prove is that when this boat sinks, if we get into World War III, we all go down together. Yep. It don't discriminate.
Being in the present and recognizing what we have and what we don't have as far as connection to all other people. You know, being in the present moments. This is really important. I mean, you can think about the history of any race. You can think about the past, or you think about the future. The future is just an illusion of what might happen. The past has already happened. There's no way you can change it.
Nope.
All we have is the present moments. That's why it's called the present, right?
Well, that's why I say we have to keep this ball rolling. We have to keep shouting out to all the people. And if you want to call it waking people up, if you want to call it enlightening people, if you want to call it just informing people, or however you want to call it.
I look at it this way. Okay, yeah. Buddha had a wonderful saying that, actually, I don't think it was Buddha, but it was one of his followers, right? One of his students. It said that, you know, a candle, okay, you can have a lit candle, and that candle can light thousands of other candles and not lose any of its energy. It still continues to light other candles until the candle eventually fades on its own accord. Right? You can light, with no energy given, thousands of candles, bring people into the light. Don't be shrouded in darkness and fear, you know, without the knowledge of things, without the progression towards, you know, a light. You know, the idea of light itself is beautiful, right? So it's the same principle, the candle.
You know what's amazing about what you just said? And I'm going to get deep here, all right? What's amazing about what you just said, you can't have light without dark, right?
Exactly.
You can't have a candle flame without oxygen or the fuel, which is the wick. You can't have a whole lot of things without something else. There always has to be something else involved. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so with that said, Cultus has some skills. He's got some amazing skills. You got some skills. Mitko, I mean, he's brilliant.
Sure. Yeah.
He's brilliant. And I got some skills. By ourselves, you know, we're cool. But together, we're amazing. There's the difference. There's where the difference lies. You put all the brilliant minds of this world together from every different nation, every different race, creed, and color. And if you can get them to agree to disagree in a respectful manner, if you can get them to work together, there is not one single thing that you couldn't accomplish. We should be so much further advanced in society than we are now.
I agree. But we're not, so we got to focus on what we have now. Do it.
All right,
but
although we are, we're all here and we're all connecting, and, yeah. And this is the major thing, you know.
We're doing it.
We are. You know, I mean, none of us can expect to be as brilliant as Tesla was, okay? But together we can. Hey.
We all have Tesla in us.
Well, we all have a little bit, right?
His children lived through us. His children were Tesla coils and induction motor and. I mean, pretty much most electrical sciences. I mean, he pretty much.
But the thing is,
that's why he didn't have kids, because those were his children.
But what I'm trying to get at is, and I think you do understand, but it's more for the listeners, is that as individuals, we can only be expected to do so much, you know, and that's not a lot, really. But together,
that's
we put all of our minds together, like. You know what it's like when we're just, you know, bantering away there in the Knights of the Round Table room there on Skype. You know, someone will say one thing and then the next person will come in and add their 2 cents. And before we know it, we're halfway to a solution.
Yeah.
Imagine if we were all in one lab together.
Yeah.
Working together autonomously day to day for a couple of months. Imagine what we'd come up with. It would be absolutely mind-boggling to even consider what we'd come up with just based on what we can come up with in text chat. Let alone being there, seeing it, touching it, and helping each other. You know what?
Well, I'm telling you something. It's really amazing to me because I had a friend in Australia, and I told him at one point, I said, brother, if there's only some way you could just get over here, if somehow down the line we can work it out to get you over here, we're going to do some pretty cool stuff. And by God, he's standing right here right now. You know? There is a will, there is a way.
And Shaziz was told I'd be here too, strangely enough, just to go all Dieden on us. Like, Shaziz had a dream, right? I was a little bit worried, okay? Because in my past, when I was younger, I got in a little trouble with the police and whatnot, and I had to go through the whole Department of Homeland Security application to get access to being able to be allowed to even fly over to the US. But then they could still knock me on the head when I got here and say, no, you can't get back on a plane and see you later. I was worried about even being able to be let into the country. And you know what? That all changed when Shaziz told us about a dream he had where he got to meet Dame Shannon and I and got to give us a big hug. I just like, yeah, sweet, then that's happening. Because I know what Shaziz's dreams are like. You know, it's scary because he has some apocalyptic dreams. But other than that, like, it put me at ease. I knew it. And it's weird that it put me at ease, even.
Well, I want to tell you about the apocalyptic dreams, all right? Okay, here's the thing. We're going to play a couple songs here in a minute, but here's the thing. I go by the story that, from my religion, comes out of the Bible, all right? They call it the Holy Bible. I go about that, all right? Well, it tells a story from beginning to end. And so, with that said, I believe that each and every one of us out here in this world have two destiny paths. We can either go down the wrong path or we can go down the right path. Now, regardless of whether you believe in the Bible or religion or anything like that, I believe we got two destiny paths. And for some reason, I'm able to see down destiny paths. And I can see by what's going on at this timeline how it's going to end up. And how it's going to end up is exactly how this Bible basically predicted it. Whoever wrote this a couple thousand years ago, they called it. It's there. They called it. We are hearing wars and rumors of wars, plagues and pestilence and famine and so on and so forth. All right? And so I'm out here and I'm shouting at the top of my lungs and I'm saying, brothers and sisters of the world, it doesn't have to go down like this. It's not written in stone. These destiny paths, if we were all to become truly enlightened, and I know it's a utopia dream of epic proportions that, you know, we all come together, we start agreeing to do what we need to do. It's like the family, okay? You got a whole entire family, and there's everybody's fighting, everybody's arguing, and nobody's working together, and then it always takes one person to die. Next thing you know, you have all the family who haven't seen each other for all these years come together. They put meals together. They put somebody in the ground. They have a ceremony for them, and then they all go back to their way. It always takes a tragedy to bring a family together. We don't need a world tragedy to bring our family together. On the destiny path that we are on as humanity, it is leading to the most apocalyptic, the most terrifying vision that you could ever imagine in the history of your life or your time. You take any bad movie you've ever seen, it that doesn't even scratch the surface. It pales in comparison. In this one particular dream that I have, I am standing in the middle of the road. And I'm...
You're right.
I'm holding on to a crying baby while everything around me is burning down. Now, if you got a heart, you can't sit there and hold on to a crying baby knowing his mama and his daddy's dead right over there and not want to shout out to the world and say, look, you guys got to get your act together because you're screwing up. You send us down that road. We got stuff going on in UK, we got Ukraine, we got stuff going on, we got Russia, China, and everybody's out there threatening each other with nuclear war. They're out there, you guys know all the stuff that's going on. It's crazy. If we keep going down this path, the road that we're going to end up, the end game, is the apocalypse predicted in the Bible. It is your worst case scenario. It is your worst case dream.
It's a warning. The Book of Revelations is a warning.
It's because it's a reoccurring pattern. It's happened many times, and it'll continue to happen so long as people don't.
So don't take it. Don't take it as. Don't take it as it's holy scripture. Yeah. Take it as that warning. Because somebody 2,000 years ago was smart enough to put it down and say, look, if you go down this road, this is exactly what's going to happen. If you cheat on your wife, she's going to cheat on you. If you kill this man, he's going to kill you. You see what I'm saying? So
continue to do the things that are destructive, then destruction continues to exist.
I'm sorry to get emotional, but whenever I'm dreaming this dream, I'm there, brother. I can feel it. I can feel the tears rolling off that baby. I can feel them hitting my arm as I'm sitting here holding that baby in the midst of a freaking war zone. I can feel the fire. I can smell the death. I can hear the screams. And I have this dream all the freaking time. I've had it for so long. So long, and so I feel in my heart that I got to get out there and I got to shout to the world. I got to try to enlighten the world. I got to try to bring the world around to my heart's way of thinking. You know, you don't have to agree with me. All you got to do is realize that on the path that we're on, we're killing each other. We're killing the planet. We're killing everything. And so if common sense doesn't take over, if things don't come around, there's only one outcome, and it ain't good. It's not a doomsday scenario as like you would see out there on YouTube, Planet X coming in to blast us or something like that. We're doomsdaying ourselves. We are literally doomsdaying ourselves. We are bringing about a self-fulfilled prophecy of epic proportions that I'm going to tell you, each and every one of you out there, you don't want your family going through that. You don't want your children going through that. You don't want your mom, your brother, your cousin. You don't want people to actually physically stand there in that war zone. You think about those children over there in Afghanistan and Iraq and Gaza Strip and over there in Israel. You think about all those children that are standing around. They were born. They needed the adults to take care of them. And the next thing you know, there's bombs going off. Their mama's dead. Their daddy's dead. Their brother's dead. Or maybe even they're dead. When's it going to stop? It isn't going to stop until each and every individual gets their butt up off the couch and starts speaking out and uses the power of the spoken word, the power of the pen, the power of their actions. It isn't going to stop. We are literally flirting with disaster, and so since I need a breather, I'm going to play this song right here. We're flirting with it. You know what I mean?
Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Cultus Negrand and Shaziz and Dyden and Dublin on the Knights of the Roundtable. And we are joined by the Honourable Young Paige Zander, who we've just been discussing on the break about, what the Knights of the Roundtable means for a young fella like Zander. And, what we're all about is leaving a legacy for the children of tomorrow, which is, we have grown up in this world. We understand the bad things that go on and the bad things that are going to go on, and we don't want these young fellas to have to deal with that. And Shaziz was wondering if young Z-Man here wanted to tell you guys what he wants.
What kind of world do you want to be raised up in?
I don't want wars going on. I don't want...
Speak up loud.
I don't want world wars going on. I don't want fights going on. I just want it to be good.
Peace and love, right?
Yes.
You want a world where... Do you want a world where everyone helps each other, or where everyone tries to take what they can grab?
Wherein everyone helps each other.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And why is that better?
Because, if nobody helps each other, if nobody helps each other, then it'll just be like a horrible world. It'll be like trashy.
Yeah.
It will be, won't it?
Yeah.
And it's much better, if you need help with something,
mm-hmm.
It's better that I just help you, and then later on you can help me with something if I need it, rather than me say, well, you now owe me.
Well, see, and even us adults can agree with the children who have lots of wisdom. Children have so much wisdom. Maybe we should listen to the children more often when they say, when they see mama and daddy fighting and they say, don't fight, please don't fight, because children's hearts are full of love, And you take that love out of them with all the fighting and the fussing and all the ignorance that goes on in the world, you're cheating that. You're cheating them. You're cheating that child out of their future. And our hopes by using the Knights of the Round Table the way we do is to bring about some common sense and some peace and love to the world, and to steer us down a different path than what we see humanity is going on. Nobody can disagree that on the path that we're on, we're screwed. Am I wrong?
Nope. No.
No.
So, Dyden, you still in there? I think Dublin had something to say, too.
I was talking to a friend of mine who, he seems to have kind of interesting dreams, and he had one I thought I'd share with you. He said he was out in the prairies, and it's grass for as far as you can see, grass everywhere. And in the distance, he can see a cowboy coming along, and he's on a horse that's pretty thin and emaciated and limping along. And the cowboy gets down off the horse, and he opens his jacket, and he pulls out a bit of grass, and he gives it to the horse. And then he closes up his jacket, and he gets back on the horse, and he gets the horse to go along. And it kind of symbolizes where we are. They control us like that horse. We're in a sea of grass. The horse is in a sea of grass where there's a... But he's blinkered and he can only see the grass the cowboy gives him. So he's totally controlled by the cowboy. So we're kind of similar. We're in a sea of energy and we don't need just what the oil companies are giving us. But the only energy we can see is when we pull into a garage and we say, fill it up with dollars.
Well, I see your point, brother. It's kind of like standing next to a sea of water and paying for a glass of water. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's that kind of logic. And I wouldn't have the brain power to come up with the horse thing with my friends if I had this dream, interesting thing a lot of people don't know is Martin Luther King was in England, and he was on television on the BBC, and he was asked about the nuclear war in the 60s, and he was using some quite very, very interesting words. He was saying, like, they're the highways of death, you know, and so even then they were kind of like switched on to, you don't want to go down that road, you know. I'm the first to agree, we can keep pushing back Armageddon forever as long as we don't go down that bad road, you know what I mean?
I think working off your story there of the cowboy, I think there's two different kinds of cowboys too. I think Martin Luther King was a different kind of cowboy. He was still able to get the other horses to follow, but he was able to get the other horse to follow. You follow what I'm saying? But he was a good bloke, you know. And when you started telling that story, I started thinking about us and what we do here at the Knights of the Round Table is that effectively that's what we're trying to do. You know, we don't want to control anyone.
Say the horse, look, don't follow the cowboy. There's all the grass. Why are you going with that?
We want to point down at the ground and say, hey, look, it's down there. Have all you want.
Yeah, you're in a sea of grass.
Yeah, we're not talking about a one-world government. We're not talking about a one-world religion. We're not talking about a one-world anything outside of a one-world people where... We all know, we've seen the future, I mean, we've seen the past, and we've seen the way things have gone in the past, and things, you know, somebody said it, I can't remember which one of the famous guys in the past said it, but, you know, if you ignore history, history is bound to repeat itself. And right now, what we see going on before us, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see, you know, if we get into World War III, if we start chucking nukes at each other, it's everybody going to pay. It's not just going to be the guy on the other side throwing the nuke. It's going to be everybody, you know? And
I don't care what they say. They can be 10 miles down in underground bunkers, but sooner or later, that stuff's going to hit them on...
Sooner or later, they got to come up for more stores, don't they? And, well, if the radiation and that hasn't cleared away... Someone's going to suffer.
You can see how easy it is to create an earthquake. When a train goes down the track, you can feel that train all the way. You could be a quarter mile down the road, and you can still feel that train vibrate in your house. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine what a 10 or 20 megaton nuclear warhead would do. You destabilize the clutch, the crust of the earth, or destabilize the core of the earth. And, brother, you're talking about you're going to get shook up worse than you ever possibly imagined. All right, and so if all these firecrackers start going off...
Yeah. I don't think there's anywhere safe once you start throwing big bombs like that. You know, the idea is big tunnels underground and big, huge underground things. I think they'll all just collapse as well.
The craziest thing that I ever heard...
Throwing that many nuclear bombs around the place.
The craziest thing that I ever heard was mutual assured destruction, the MAD deal.
Yeah.
That we would destroy it before we would give it to any enemy. And you can't understand how stupid that is, because mutual assured destruction means you're not even alive. Nobody's alive.
Kamikaze.
Everybody's, it's gone.
It's kamikaze, isn't it? Really?
We can destroy and wreck the earth as far as the mind can imagine it. But the earth, the true power of the earth and the collection of all of its beings will outlive us by far. So long as we don't understand it and learn from it, we will assure our doom, you know.
And I want to tell you guys, and look, once again, everybody knows me. They know that I don't press my religion on anybody. Everybody knows that. I don't press my beliefs on anybody. But let me tell you something. This planet is a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. It is a thermoelectric generator of epic proportions. We are living in a sea of energy. When we, as humanity, kill ourselves off, this planet doesn't stop. The chemistry's still here. It will start over without us. We can't do it. And this is why I believe that there was a creator, because he was smart enough to know how stupid that we were going to act. That if it was allowed to us, we wouldn't be here right now. World War I, World War II, you know, and on the verge of World War III.
any of the doggone conflicts that we come into, man figuring out energy equals mass times the speed of light squared and creating an atomic bomb. We, you know, if it was left up to us, the first atomic bomb would have wiped out the entire world, but it didn't. And so that tells me that the planet is and nature is so much tougher than you are ever. If you think you're a badass, you got another thing coming. Nature will kick your butt. It will shake you off like a bad set of fleas. And so if we don't get our act together, then guess what? We're gone. That's all there's to it. Now you tell me there is
Mother Nature has an immune system, and she will enact it if necessary.
She'll inoculate us.
She already has.
Well, yeah, she's trying to, you know, do away with the bad, and unfortunately, you know, the same as the human body, when you get rid of a few bad bugs, you get rid of a few good ones as well, but
the thing is, here we are as a family, you know, we're black, we're white, we're red, we're yellow, we're family, and we're from all different nations. We're sitting here at the Knights of the Round Table, we're talking about solutions, we're hoping to wake up individuals out there in this world, and if we don't do it, the path that we got on, we got two destiny paths. We can either go down the right road, or we can go down the wrong road. If we go down the wrong road, nobody on this planet will be pleased with the outcome. And these are from my own personal beliefs. These are from my own personal dreams. You can take it or leave it however you want. But all you got to do is look. If you drive all liquored up and you're hammering on the gas, you got both feet on the gas pedal and you're flying down the road, something's going to happen, and it ain't going to be what you want. You see what I'm saying, guys?
Yeah.
We got to fix it, and we have the power to do so.
Stupidity is knowing something, right? I think we've all said this before. Stupidity is not necessarily not knowing something, but it's knowing something and then expecting a different result. Doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah. Cultus, is it written in stone?
Which? Sorry. Talking to Z-Man here.
Is it written in stone?
This Holy Bible, we have the last book in this Holy Bible is Revelations. And Revelations is, as I was saying to Shaziz while we were at the while we were having a break before, yep. Revelations is but a warning. It's not written in stone, but it is a warning to be taken away. And this is what will happen if we don't choose to change the path that the world is on. And we are doing that right now. Us here at the Knights of the Round Table and other networks like us, that is what we're doing. We are putting it in motion, and we were saying to young Z-Man that he is going to be the one, you know, him and children like him are going to be the ones to see out what we set in motion. Now, we are probably not going to see the end result of what we start today and what we have started in these last few months and these last couple of years. We will probably never ever see that come to fruition, but we are the ones, the catalyst, who have started it. And from there, the young ones will learn from us, and they will take it on. They will see the heartache and the horrible things that are happening in this world today and not want it tomorrow. And we will instill in them the ability and the tools to be able to fight against that in the correct manner.
Ladies and gentlemen, all of our constitutions from all of our nations are written on paper. They are not written in stone. The Ten Commandments were written in stone, all right? It says, thou shalt not kill. If you kill, you'll be killed. That's all it is to it. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. And so what we're hoping to do is to spread some true enlightenment out there, however you want to think about it, whether you're a New Ager, a Buddhist, Muslim, Hindu, or whatever. When this ship goes down, all hands go down with it. When the Titanic went down, those who weren't fortunate enough to get into a lifeboat, they went down. We don't want to see that. Because I have enough love in my heart. Cultus has enough love in his heart. Xander has enough love in his heart for each and every one. What more can you say?
Even the bad people.
What more can you say? He said even the bad people.
Yep. And that's it, isn't it? Hey, love your brothers and sisters even if they are, you know, perceived evil. It's the only way to fight evil is to fight it with love.
So if
darkness is merely the absence of light.
Exactly.
Darkness, they don't see the light.
If what we're doing here at the Knights of the Round Table is the wrong thing, you know, so be it. So be it, because in my heart, it tells me it's right. It's right. It's right to love your brothers. It's right to love your sisters. It's right to love the world. Because the alternative is you stand there and you hold that baby in your hand while his mother and his father lay dying on the ground next to him. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
There's where the difference lies. I gotta put.
Yep.
Does in,
so what do you all think of that?
Does, any, does anybody disagree with that?
No.
Do we
still? Yep. Had to worry.
That right and wrong. That's a tough one. That's all relative to perception, much like Einstein's equations.
Well, I'm sure, brother. I mean, we could set around. We can sit around and mince words, but what we can't mince is the facts. The facts is that on the path that we are on as humanity, it's undeniable. If you want doomsday, you get doomsday. You create your own reality. In Genesis, in the Bible, it literally says that God created man in his own image, which makes us creators. We create our own pain, we create our own suffering, we create our own wars. And so regardless of how you think about it, whether you believe in Jesus or whether you believe in God or don't believe in God, you do create your reality. And so when you create that reality that you're living in and that your neighbor's living in, it's obvious that if I throw a bomb in your yard, I'm going to hurt your family.
You're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah, I'm going to hurt myself. I may have needed you sometime down in the future. You may have been the one that created the cure to the disease that I'm going to contract down the road, and I just killed you.
Or at the very least, you could have learned something from them. You neglected to out of the haste of your emotions getting the best of you without discipline.
Yep, and brother,
understanding.
You couldn't set it any better. You couldn't set it any better. We're coming down to the wire. We're down to like the last 5 minutes of the show. So this is the time where we go around the table and we let all the knights have their say. First, I want to let our page Xander say what he thinks.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead. Tell the world how you want the world to be.
Well, he's got his. Yeah. If there isn't.
Which one do I do first?
Your one.
Right there.
Okay.
Speak in there.
Okay. You don't have to learn.
If we didn't have a Knights of the Round Table and like the other internets that help like people that watch, if we didn't have that, the world would be like even badder.
Yeah.
So that's why we have like the Knights of the Round Table and King Shaziz and Cultists and stuff.
It's like this: if the entire system is bad and there is no good people inserted in that system, then the whole system's bad. And so with the Knights of the Round Table, you're injecting the cure, which is love, to the whole system. Anybody disagree with that?
No.
Not one bit.
Well, what about you, Diadon?
I believe that there is more light and more love than anything else. It's just a matter of you finding it within yourself and quieting the mind, understanding that we're all a piece of something that's far greater or far lesser, however you want to look at it from perspective,
yep,
than ourselves.
And if you want to look at it on the ground level, we got a wonderful, beautiful kid sitting right here. And I'm tell you what, his future is defined by our actions. And if you don't believe that, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, you know?
Everything we see is thoughts built upon thoughts of man, anyways. Everything we manifest.
What?
It all comes down to monkey see, monkey do. And, well, monkey sees and monkey does. You can hear it in his own words, you know?
What about you, Dublin? You got any words of wisdom before we bail up out of here?
You're a monkey.
Dublin, turn your microphone on.
Electrocuted monkey.
Going once. Going twice. We love you, Dublin.
3 times and sold.
How about you, Mitko? You still in there?
Yeah. I just want to talk for Nikola Tesla for a month. Nikola Tesla was like us. He wanted to make the world better. And the only mistake he did was he was alone. And we're not going to do the same mistake.
I agree, brother.
Everyone is, a single person is weak. We, as a group, are much more stronger than even Nikola Tesla was ever.
Yeah, and we have one. We have one major tool on our side, but Nikola Tesla, well, he was the benefactor thereof of this, and that's the internet. What has been seen cannot be unseen. So if you have it and you want to give it away to the world, the internet is the place to share it, where it will go viral. A million people will see it, and they can't bump off a million people all over the world randomly and stop it.
That's right. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. If you don't think nobody's listening, then you need to think again, because people are listening out there in this world. You may not see it, but they're listening. They're listening, they're watching, they're seeing how the world is unfolding before our very eyes. And what you do, every single thing that you do, is that one pebble that you throw in the pond. If you throw that negative pebble in the pond, it's going to spread negativity all over the globe. And I keep saying this over and over again, you just don't realize how much power that your words have. You can literally drag somebody down to the depths of hell, or you can raise them up to the highest points of heaven. You can do that with your mouth, with your voice.
With your thoughts.
With your thoughts. Imagine what you can do with your heart. Imagine what you could do with your actions. Imagine what you could do with the power of the pen, the power of the spoken word. Imagine what I can do by myself. But if you add Stalker in there, if you add Dieden in there, if you add Dublin in there, if you add Cultus in there, if you add Dame Shannon in there, Paige Xander in there, the Z-Man, if you add all of us in there, we keep getting stronger every time one of us joins the crowd. Tell your friends out there on your Facebook, tell your friends out there on your YouTube, tell your friends out there what it is that we're doing here at the Knights of the Round Table, and tell them why. Let them come here. Let them hear what we're talking about. What we're talking about is empowering each and every individual to not only believe in themselves, but to get up off the couch and do something with that power that they have. What we're going to end up seeing before it's all said and done, if we all just let this slide. You know, it may be a case of we try and we're denied, and it may all crash down regardless. But if we do not try, the world that we live to these children...
Intentions are more important than end results at the end of the day. If you intend to do good and it fails, that's perfectly okay. If you intend to do evil, whether you succeed or not doesn't matter. You're evil. Bottom line.
And so with that said, I think Live Mike's getting ready to take the stream and take his show over. But you guys, listen, you know, join the Knights of the Round Table. Come in there. Get on the doggone Skype. Talk to us. Jump in chat rooms and talk to us. Tell your friends about it, you know. We're not all just talk. We do a lot of stuff behind the scenes. We're trying to do what we can to try to make a difference in this world. And I believe so much in the power of the positive pebble, the power of the positive thinking. I believe so much in it that I'm willing to stake the entire future on it, that if all of us pitch in and do exactly what it is that we're doing on all these networks, No Borders, We Roar, Awake Radio, and man, there's so many more coming on board. If we keep doing what it is that we're doing to wake people up and to educate people and to show love and peace and hope around the world from all different nations, man, when I hear Mitko talk, it just warms my heart, because his accent from his side of the world and my accent and then Cultus from Australia, you know, I'm telling you, it warms my heart, because we are talking to the world when we are talking on the Knights of the Round Table.
And for all those of you who have often thought about calling in and being a part of the show, but was worried you were going to be a jittery mess, or however you might, you know, be discouraged, please don't be. The first time, I might sound really confident, but basically I sit here and have conversations with my friends. That's all I'm doing, you know. The first time called up Shaziz, I was that jittery mess. But I have grown stronger and I've gotten
better.
What's
the first thing I told you? I said, you are among friends, brother.
Exactly.
Like the first time I met Cultus, I didn't really know much about him, but now I do.
That's it. You get more comfortable around people, and you learn a little bit more about the subject matter, and, you know, it just rolls on like that. So please, be that jittery mess. Come and join us. You will be amongst friends and people who will love you.
All right.
You won't be you won't have anything to lose.
Guys, we're going to run over into Michael. Michael, if you're listening, I'm sorry, brother. Peace and love, everybody. So stay tuned. Come back next Sunday on the Knights of the Round Table. Saturday on Mad Science. Live Mike is coming up next. We love you, Mike.
Peace
sorry
we
ran into your time there. Peace and love, everybody. Thanks, guys.
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here!
Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I am your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're Knights of the Round Table, we dance where we're able. We do routines and order scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're Knights of the Round Table, our shows are more mid table. The many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot. So we're tough and able, quite indefatigable.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Shazam the Terrible! All rise for King Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!